From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. Do you remember fire drills in school? The alarm would sound, and within a matter of minutes, the entire school would line up outside in an orderly fashion while the fire department cleared the building. Well, fire drills were more than one way to get out of class for a few moments. They ensured that if a real fire were to break out, students and faculty would be prepared to evacuate safely. And in the very same way, we need to train for spiritual emergencies before they arise. My message is titled Survival Tip Number 5, Trust Your Training, as we continue our series Courageous on today's edition of Pathway to Victory. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." While you prepare your family's will or estate, I'm urging you to specifically name Pathway to Victory as one of the recipients of your legacy giving. Pathway to Victory will ensure that the word of God is boldly declared long beyond your lifetime here on earth.
For information on how Pathway to Victory can assist you in preparing your will, visit ptv.org/legacy.
When thrown into survival situations, first responders, firemen, policemen, Soldiers in the military, they often encourage one another with these three words: trust your training. Trust your training. Even athletes understand the importance of trusting their training. They practice, practice, practice. And when they get in the heat of the game, that's when their memory takes over. And their memory tells their muscles exactly how to respond. Trusting your training. When you face a crisis, it's important that you already be trained in what to do so that your memory can take over. We don't live our lives in isolation. We have a whole bunch of people who are riding with us, depending upon us. Our mate, our children, our grandchildren, the people we've influenced for Christ. If we allow a crisis to take us out and send us crashing, we not only destroy our lives, but we destroy those of everyone around us. It is important that we learn to trust our training. If you don't hear anything else I say during this sermon, hear this. The only way to survive spiritually is to be adequately trained before the crisis hits and then trust our training when the crisis hits. Where do we go to find that training that we need in times of crises in our life? We find it in God's Word. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the passage we read aloud just a few moments ago. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul said, "For all Scripture is inspired by God." You don't get to pick and choose which parts you think are inspired. We have a culture today that wants to do that. They want to leave out the difficult parts or the parts that don't coincide with the culture today. No, the Bible says all Scripture is inspired. You know that word inspired, theos neustos in Greek, literally God breathed. All Scripture is God breathed, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for, here it is, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If you wait until a crisis hits your life to decide to be trained for it, you've waited too long. You've waited too long if you've waited until your employer tells you that your services are no longer needed. You've waited too long if you wait until your husband or wife tells you they're leaving. You've waited too long if you've waited until the crisis comes to train in righteousness. Remember what happened when Joseph found himself being assaulted with temptation? Mrs. Potiphar grabbed him by the shoulder and said, "Lie with me." Literally in Hebrew, "have sex with me." Just imagine Joseph had said, "Mrs. Potiphar, would you wait just a moment? There is a verse somewhere. I know, I remember it somewhere on what to do when the boss's wife makes a move on you. But I can't find it. If you'll hold on." No. He would have been spiritual roadkill if he had waited until that happened. He had committed God's word to memory ahead of time and knew exactly how to use it. We need to do that as well. The Bible is our training manual for how to act righteously. Let me talk for just a moment about the benefits of the training that comes from God's Word. What is it that God's Word does for us? Psalm 119 is a beautiful chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, and it details the benefits of God's Word in our life. I want you to notice three of them. First of all, God's Word provides wise counsel throughout life. In Psalm 119, verse 105, God says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Interesting choice of words. It is a lamp. Have you ever been out in the woods before at night? No moon visible in the sky, no street lights, and you're trying to find your way along a path? There's a difference between a flashlight and a floodlight. A floodlight illuminates a large area, perhaps hundreds of feet ahead of you. But most of us don't lug a floodlight around us, but we can have a flashlight. And a flashlight illuminates not every step we're going to take between here and our destination, but it shows us the next step we need to take. And that's what God does through His Word. That is the beauty of the direction that comes from God's word. Secondly, God's word is a faithful friend during difficult days. Look at Psalm 119, verses 92 to 93. If thy law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me. When I think about those verses, I think about somebody who was literally revived by the power of God's word, somebody who was saved from perishing in their affliction. Darlene Dibler-Rose was a Christian missionary who was captured by the Japanese in World War II. She was thrown into a Japanese prison. Her Bible was taken away from her. She was beaten and tortured for 4 years. But even though these Japanese soldiers could take away her Bible, they couldn't take away the Word of God she had memorized and placed in her heart. Listen to her testimony. She said, as a child and young person, I had had a driving compulsion to memorize the written word. In that cell, I was grateful now for those days in vacation Bible school when I had memorized many single verses. Parents, have your kids in vacation Bible school. She said, I'm grateful for those verses in vacation Bible school. Complete chapters of the Bible and Psalms, as well as whole books of the Bible I had memorized. In the years that followed, I reviewed the scriptures often. The Lord fed me with the living bread that had been stored against the day when fresh supply was cut off by the loss of my Bible. He brought daily comfort and encouragement, yes, and joy to my heart through the knowledge of His word. No matter where you are or what situation you're facing, God's word is a faithful friend during times of affliction. Thirdly, God's word serves as a sure defense against temptation. It's the best defense we have against temptation. Remember David's words in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against God. You say, well, how is it that the Bible is a defense against temptation? Exactly how does that work? We can't control all the time what thoughts come into our mind, but we have a choice. We can either hold on to those thoughts, embellish those thoughts until they metastasize into full-blown immorality, or we can confront those wrong thoughts with the truth of God's word and dismiss them. And that's exactly what Paul had in mind, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, when he said, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You know, we have a great illustration of that in the Bible through the life of Jesus himself. We're talking about survival tips. Jesus was in the wilderness going through his own survival experience for 40 days and nights after his baptism. How did he resist the temptation of Satan? Turn over to Luke chapter 4 for just a moment. Luke chapter 4. He had just been baptized, had a spiritual high moment in his life in the Jordan River. The clouds parted and the Lord himself, God, Jehovah, said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then, notice what happens. Luke 4 says, and then the Spirit led him in the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan. Satan was hoping that these temptations would break Jesus and disqualify him as the Messiah. Now, we've been through these temptations before. Let me just remind you of them briefly without dwelling on them. The first temptation was an appeal to Jesus' physical appetites. After 40 days of not eating, he was hungry. Satan came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. There was nothing that was wrong with eating. That's part of God's plan. But the temptation was to act apart from God, and Jesus would have none of it. He said, quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Satan came with a second temptation, an appeal to power. He said to him, come up here with me on this mountaintop and let me show you the kingdoms of this world. They will all belong to you if you will simply bow down and worship me. Interestingly, the kingdoms of the world already belonged to Jesus. He had temporarily relinquished it while he was on earth, but he would one day be the King of Kings, to whom everyone would bow and confess that he is Lord over all. But this was a temptation to ignore God's timing for that, to have it now instead of later. Just worship me now and you can have it all. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6:13, as it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Finally, the third temptation, an appeal to glory. Remember in verse 9, he takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and says, just jump down from here and the angels will take care of you. And he actually quotes scripture. Did you know Satan knows scripture? He quoted Psalm 91, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. What he was basically saying is, Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. If you want everybody to worship you as Lord right now, just prove that you are the Son of God and you can escape the cross. And he quoted scripture to supposedly back up that claim. But Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6:16 that says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And after that final unsuccessful try, Luke says that the devil left. He departed until a more opportune time arose. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking once you've successfully resisted temptation, you're home free. If you're in a lull right now in your life and you say, well, I don't know what all this is about testing is. I've been through tests before, but I'm over it now. Remember, if you're experiencing that lull, all Satan is doing is reloading, getting ready to come at you again. How did Jesus repel the temptation of Satan? He did it. Notice each of the three times, he did it by quoting scripture. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I was a preacher for a long time before I ever even picked up on this truth. Satan's not afraid of the Bible. He's not afraid of the Bible. He knows the Bible. He knows it better than you do, or even I do. He can quote the scripture. The power of God's word is not what it does to Satan. It's what it does for us. That's why Jesus quoted scripture, not to make Satan run away, but to give Jesus the insight, the clarity, the strength he needed to say yes to God and no to Satan. That is the power of the Word of God. If knowing God's Word, hiding it in his own heart, was essential for Jesus' spiritual survival, the perfect Son of God, how much more important is it for you and for me? What is it that Scripture does for us? It shows us what to do, how to behave in every situation. Remember this simple formula. Memorize God's word, recall God's word, obey God's word. That's how you train in righteousness. Let me just close today by giving you four practical tips for how to engage in your own training program in God's word. How do you develop your own training program? Number one, have a scheduled time and plan for memorizing the Bible. Set a time and a place where you're going to meet with God every day. Maybe it's 5 minutes. Maybe it's 10 minutes. And maybe in the morning and maybe at night. There's no better time. Some people are morning people. Some people are night people. The key is commit to a time and place where you're going to spend a few moments reading God's word. What you practice is what you become. What you practice is what you become. We all have to work to develop these grooves of righteousness in our life so that when we are assaulted unexpectedly by anger, by lust, by greed, by worry, we default. We go into that groove of right acting. Again, how do you do that? Memorize God's word, recall God's word, obey God's word. Secondly, to develop your own scripture training program, start small. Did you know most of the books of the New Testament, two-thirds of them, could be read in less than 20 minutes? Start with a small book like Philippians or James that's very, very practical. If you can't handle a whole book, just take a chapter. Here's some chapters you might want to consider. If you're facing a crisis, read Psalm 46. If you're facing temptation in your life, read James 1. If you're worried or concerned about finances, read Matthew chapter 6. Start small. Third, read the verses out loud. There's something about, especially these verses you're trying to memorize, read them out loud. Read them out loud. As you do that, it will help hide God's word in your heart. Finally, and so important, remember the value of God's word. Remember the value of God's word. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you an assignment today and I said, I want you this week to memorize Philippians chapter 1, and if you're able to do it by next Sunday, I'll give you $100,000. How many of you think you could memorize Philippians number? Yeah. It's not a question of ability, it's a question of motivation, isn't it? And I want to tell you, as God as my witness, some of those verses I've memorized 20 and 30 years ago have come back at just the right time and saved me from disaster that would have cost me a lot more than $100,000. And it wouldn't have only affected me, it would have affected those closest to me as well. That's the value of God's word. Remember it. Moses said it this way in Deuteronomy 32, 46, take to your heart all the words with which I'm warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. This word, it's not just words on a page. This word is life to us. And the goal is not to memorize verses so you can master a certain number of verses. The goal is to memorize verses so you can be mastered by those verses. So that when you come to that time in your life, when you enter that unforeseen turbulence, you can trust your training until you land safely. That is the value of the Word of God.
Sitting idle and doing nothing is a devastating option. In order to have victory, in order to win the battle against our sinful nature, we must employ the tools God has given us. Let me share with you an inspiring story of spiritual victory. Not long ago, I heard from Clay, who wrote, "Pastor Jeffress, I was raised in the church, but drifted away because I felt disconnected from what I was hearing on Sunday to the reality of my daily life. Then my mother introduced me to Pathway to Victory, and I have never stopped listening. Pathway to Victory has made a real difference in my spiritual walk, so much so that I now serve as a deacon at my local church. Listening gives me peace, comfort, and guidance. Thanks for all you do." Well, thank you, Clay, for your words of encouragement. And when you invest financially in Pathway to Victory, you're the one who's reaching people like Clay. So thanks for linking arms with us. We couldn't do it without you. God is using your generosity to pierce the darkness with the light of His Word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Christians today are facing relentless attacks from an ungodly culture, a formidable spiritual enemy, and our own sinful nature. We cannot afford to surrender. Learn how to stay strong in your faith with Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Dr. Jeffress's boldest book yet.
People who survive life-threatening situations have two things in common: a different response to troubles and a different perspective on life. And in my new book, Courageous, I'll give you the biblical tools you need to conquer whatever challenges come your way. This is the most important and boldest book I've ever written.
Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North says, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a must-read book. Request your hardcover copy of Courageous when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. As an added bonus, we'll also send you 10 Courageous encouragement cards. Keep them with you for support and encouragement when you need to be courageous. Plus, when you give $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete unedited Courageous teaching series on CD and DVD.
Satan has a plan to destroy your marriage. A plan to cause your children to rebel against God. A plan to cause you to lose your witness for Jesus Christ. How can we survive, much less thrive, in that kind of environment? We can live our faith
courageously.
Don't allow yourself to become sidelined by fear. Request your copy of The Courageous Resources today from Pathway to Victory.
When you're caught in a serious dilemma, trust in the training you've done in advance, because your good training will carry you through. But if you wait until a crisis comes, you've waited too long. Well, there's no doubt that we're living in a world that's hostile to your Christian values. If you haven't encountered opposition, it's only a matter of time. So, how will you respond when someone challenges, even ridicules, your Christian convictions? Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next in our series, Courageous, here on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' brand new book, Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Plus, the Courageous Encouragement Cards are our gift to you simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Courageous Teaching Series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
You know, there's an African proverb that says, the wind doesn't break the tree that bends. The key is to have enough elasticity in it to bend without breaking. We have another word for that elasticity. We call it resiliency.
Set your DVR and join us next time for survival tip number 6, bend, don't break, here on Pathway to Victory.
As much as 1/5 of Scripture consists of prophecy, and I want to show you the actual places in Israel where these prophecies will unfold on the Pathway to Victory Biblical Prophecy Tour of Israel.
Stand on the Mount of Olives, walk the streets of Jerusalem, look out over the Valley of Armageddon, discovering the impact of these historic places on your faith and your future. Join us on the Pathway to Victory Biblical Prophecy Tour of Israel, March 2 through 12, 2021.